T-Alert is officially on the block. NTSB will investigate a near miss near JFK, and airline cutbacks are especially bad news for Denver and Atlanta. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 9th, 2008. The Chemnitz local court in Germany opened formal insolvency proceedings against T-Alert aircraft engines on July 1st. Bruno M. Kebler will remain T-Alert's insolvency administrator. Kebler stressed the company's business operations continue, and investors can now officially be courted. Quote, "The transition from preliminary to opened insolvency proceedings is a purely formal act that has no noticeable effects on the company's relations with its suppliers or customers. An investor who is capable of securing the existence of the company on a long-term basis at its business locations and continues to develop the company's leading position on the market for diesel piston engines should get the nod," unquote. As ANN reported last month, Diamond Aircraft, T-Alert's largest single customer, proposed a consortium with Cessna, Piper, and outside investors to take over the troubled engine maker for about $79 million. There have been reports, though, that Kebler wants twice that much, or $158 million. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says two airliners missed each other by as little as 100 feet in the skies over JFK International on Saturday night. The FAA says the planes came no closer than 300 feet. Now, the National Transportation Safety Board says it will investigate. The NTSB says a Cayman Airways flight was executing a missed approach, which conflicted with the course of a departing Lanchile flight, and the tower controllers intervened and assigned the two aircraft diverging headings. Among the areas to be hit by unemployment in airline downsizing is Colorado. The Rocky Mountain News reports Denver's two largest airlines will cut more than 600 Colorado-based positions between them. Frontier Airlines is currently operating under Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and notified the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment it will furlough 152 first officers, 169 flight attendants, 50 customer service agents, and 35 mechanics, a total of almost 10% of its workforce in Colorado. The cuts will take place in September and October. United Airlines sent similar notification to Colorado officials that it plans to cut 150 jobs in the state, about 3% of its Colorado workforce. Gone will be 50 customer service reps and 100 ramp workers. Both airlines are trying to cut the number of available seats to increase demand and prices, but the tactic may end up doing little more than costing them market share. Southwest Airlines says it will expand in Denver as its competitors cut service, bringing 100 new jobs with it. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is reporting AirTran, which has its corporate offices in Orlando but its operational hub in Atlanta, plans to cut 300 flight attendants and 180 pilots from its workforce through voluntary exits and furloughs. That works out to about 15% of its flight attendants and 12% of its pilots. The company is offering a voluntary separation program to employees with 5 years of seniority, with the exception of directors and officers. It will give extended health and travel benefits to employees who decide by July 31st to take that early exit. If that doesn't trim the ranks enough, furloughs will begin September 6th. Atlanta, where all of AirTran's pilots and most of its flight attendants are based, will take the brunt of the employment hit. Coming up next on ANN, Embraer sets a delivery record for the first half of 2008. The FAA says the dented nose of a 757 was caused by a structural collapse, and the date has been set for NASA's last shuttle launch. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 9th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Embraer announced this week it delivered 52 aircraft during the second quarter of 2008, closing out the first 6 months of the year with a record 97 jets delivered. That's a 59% increase over the 61 airplanes delivered during the first semester of 2007. The Brazilian plane maker adds that its firm order backlog for commercial, executive, and defense segments also ended the quarter at the highest level in its history, totaling $20.7 billion U.S. Embraer says its newly introduced Phenom executive jets continue to show positive sales results, with a number of firm order contracts approaching 800 aircraft. The certification program for the Phenom 100 is on schedule and has four prototypes flying for the certification tests. A bird strike has been ruled out as the cause of a mysterious dent in the nose cone of a Northwest Airlines Boeing 757. The crew reported hearing a bang descending through 18,000 feet Sunday near Tampa, and the plane's nose-mounted radar failed at that same moment. But no blood or feathers were found, and not many birds are found at flight level 180 anyway. The plane landed without incident, and nobody was injured. Now the FAA says the dent was a simple collapse caused by a structural defect in the radome itself. Spokeswoman Elizabeth Corey told the Twin Cities Pioneer Press an investigation is underway to determine why the structure failed. Northwest says the nose cone was replaced and the plane was back in service on Monday. The damaged section was shipped to Minneapolis-St. Paul, where technicians for Northwest are examining it. The age of Northwest's 757 fleet ranges from 5 to 17 years. NASA is now set to count down to what will likely be the last mission for the U.S. Space Shuttle fleet. The agency says it has selected target launch dates for the remaining eight missions in 2009 and 2010. The manifest includes one flight to the Hubble Space Telescope, seven assembly flights to the International Space Station, and two station contingency flights planned to be completed before the end of fiscal year 2010. As it stands now, the historic last liftoff of a shuttle will be May 31, 2010, when Endeavour's 25th mission, STS-133, will bring critical spare components to the International Space Station. There is some support in Congress to extend the service of the shuttle fleet to minimize the period during which supply missions to the ISS will rely on Russian launch vehicles, but the Bush administration and even NASA itself appear anxious to wrap up the shuttle era and focus on the Constellation program, which will follow. The Challenger Center for Space Science Education has announced that Teacher in Space Krista McAuliffe's original lessons are now available for teachers at www.challenger.org. The lessons feature links to videos of Krista McAuliffe and her backup, Barbara Morgan, demonstrating activities both on Earth and in zero-G. Each lesson includes step-by-step instructions for teachers on how to use the activities in the classroom with students. By passing the torch of knowledge and education to today's teachers, the center seeks to continue Krista's enthusiasm for education by replicating the very lessons she was not able to share from orbit. This past January marked the 22nd anniversary of the loss of the Challenger. The Challenger Center for Space Science Education was founded in 1986 by the families of the astronauts lost on that flight. Center officials say their program reaches over 300,000 students and 25,000 teachers every year through 50 centers around the world. To locate a Challenger Learning Center near you, visit www.challenger.org. Still ahead, Cessna offers three good reasons to buy a new 182 right now. ExpressJet and Delta will end their relationship. And someone's trying to improve the attitude behind the airline ticket counter. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 9th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. We often hear about the downsides of an economic slump, but for those who are prepared, a slump also brings good buying opportunities. Right now, those opportunities include full-size pickup trucks, houses in parts of Florida, and Cessna 182s. On Tuesday, Cessna announced a program that offers free fuel for up to 18 months and a free Garmin synthetic vision upgrade for new buyers of Cessna 182 Skylanes or Turbo Skylanes through September 30th. Under the program, Cessna will pay for fuel for the new Skylane up to $15,000 between now and the end of 2009, based on average usage and power settings, flying 11.5 hours per month at 12 gallons an hour on avgas at $6 a gallon. Cessna will also upgrade at no charge the Garmin G1000 avionics package that's standard on the 182 with Garmin's synthetic vision, currently in the final stages of certification by Cessna and Garmin. John Doman, Cessna's Vice President for Propeller Aircraft Sales, says even the federal government is sweetening the deal. Quote, "When you couple this with the U.S. government's bonus depreciation program for new business aircraft passed earlier this year, this will prove to be a very popular program as it provides unique ownership opportunities," unquote. "You're going to want to move quickly if you want this. To qualify for the incentives, you must take possession of the aircraft between now and September 30th. ExpressJet has decided it can't continue losing money on Delta Connection flights. The Houston Business Journal reports Delta and ExpressJet will part company effective September 1st. Most of the affected routes served Los Angeles and Salt Lake City. Delta says some of the flights will be picked up by other Delta Connection carriers. ExpressJet will retain the 23 ERJ-145 aircraft it operates for Delta Connection flights, but some of them won't be sticking around on the ramp for very long. ExpressJet CEO Jim Rehm said, quote, "With the losses we were experiencing from our Delta prorate flying, combined with our ability to return aircraft to the lessor, this termination of service is in the best interest of our company," unquote. ExpressJet's operation of regional flights for Continental Airlines will be unaffected. If you think it's confusing to figure out what an airline trip will cost you after all the added fees, imagine what it's like to be an airline reservation agent. How would you like to spend your day facing a seemingly endless line of people all waiting to get told by you that they need another $25 for that checked bag or another $100 to change their flights? Perhaps it's no surprise that airline personnel can range from unhappy to downright surly in the current environment. Dealing with customer discontent and confusion has become a major industry challenge. Galen David, president of Jetiquette Academy of Coral Gables, Florida, and a 20-year purser for American Airlines, has created a program geared to airlines, airports, hotels, and other travel and retail companies that helps their employees become more resilient in dealing with perpetual change and uncertainty in the industry. David trains employees on how to be more empathetic to customers, how to find their own unique career purpose, and how to put a value on their individual contributions. Many times, his seminars put him in front of extremely hostile audiences, filled with angry employees who've suffered pay cuts, witnessed layoffs, and had their work rules drastically changed. It helps to know their situation firsthand. Quote, "I've been there myself, and am there to help them to rediscover the joy they had on their first day, and how to tap those emotions at the most difficult times. The results are amazing," unquote. To date, his Jetiquette keynotes and seminars have been delivered in the U.S., Canada, South America, and Europe to airlines, hotels, retailers, and even government agencies. His next project is to deliver 20 seminars for a Canadian airline. He also has a DVD-based program for companies to use following his seminars, and he has a book due out this fall. You can find out more at www.jetiquetteacademy.com. And finally, here's a hint for better airline service. If something goes wrong, try to convince your fellow passengers not to start acting like an angry mob. American Airlines Flight 1908 from Miami to LaGuardia was delayed one day recently because the flight crew didn't arrive on time. When they finally did show up, angry passengers started to boo them. Bad idea. The flight crew felt threatened and exercised their option to just say no to working in a hostile environment. American couldn't find another crew to take the flight, so the passengers were sent to a hotel. Or maybe zoo would be a better word. One passenger told Fox 5 News, quote, "The hotel we stayed at had barbed wire all around it. Nice place, nice hotel, but barbed wire around it," unquote. The passengers eventually got to LaGuardia the next day, but American sent their bags to JFK. What must it have been like at that baggage claim office? I'm guessing the folks behind that counter are ready for Gail and David's Jetiquette seminar about now. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll be joined by veteran airline pilot and aviation career counselor Karen Kahn to talk about the issues facing women pursuing careers as professional pilots. Is there still a glass ceiling in airliner cockpits? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.